Welcome to The Sunday Soother, a podcast, newsletter, and community about authentic living and compassionate personal development. I'm your host, Catherine Andrews, a life coach, online teacher, and writer focused on self-reflection, mindfulness, and how to create meaning in our everyday lives in practical ways. Join me weekly for conversations about personal growth, spirituality, self-discovery, and self-care, and how we can navigate this messy world with hope and humanity. Hi, everybody. It's Catherine, and welcome to today's episode of The Sunday Soother, where I'm going to be discussing something I call the forest, the meadow, and the river of misery, which is my spin, my take on how I have witnessed personal growth and transformation in myself and others around me. And I want to explain it to you a little bit because I think it gives you a little bit of clarity about how change and transformation in one's life actually happens, and it might be useful for you to kind of understand this framework, right? First, let me tell you, I am recording outside. I'm in my parents' backyard, so it might be a little noisy. There's some, you know, this is the land of suburbia. There's lawnmowers, there's deer constantly going by. And it's cicada season, so I'm just praying that a cicada doesn't drop on my head and ruin the recording of this. But it's something I'm willing to risk to be outside. And I also wanted to thank all of you for such kind words about the passing of my grandmother, Margaret. I mean, I have to say it's probably one of the most difficult but also profound experiences of my life to be with her in her final weeks and days. And to witness her passing, I'm so grateful for it. And I'll be talking possibly more about it because I think there's a lot that I don't want to say took away from the experience, because that makes it sound like it was just something I was doing for the experience, when it was something I wanted to do to honor one of the most important people to me in my life. But there was stuff I took away from the experience and that I want to share with people. About death, but also about the ways in which we live our life and the ways in which we grow. So moving on, let me tell you about the forest, the meadow, and the river of misery. But first, in order to do this, okay, a lot of you know, you've been listening possibly I've had this podcast for like 1.5 or 2 years, and you know that I've been on my own personal journey of healing, growth, recovering from codependency, perfectionism, healing and romance, going through the shadow work of entrepreneurship and starting my own business, right? I share much of my life with you all, just to let you know that I'm not any different than you. I'm a human being who's trying to have a life that's important to them and encountering struggles and difficulties and joy along the way. But as I grow and as I've come to kind of this current place, I've felt that there has been a massive shift inside of me in the last few months. And it's very hard to articulate, and it feels good. It's a good shift. And it's something that, as it's happened, it has made me look back at sort of the ways that I've been growing and healing and viewing the world. And it's something that's hard to explain. The way I see the world and myself now is something that is hard to put into words to help somebody else understand and follow the path of change that I did. And so as I've been thinking about my own growth and my own shift and how that happened and what it means, what I've really come to take away is a concept called vertical development that my coach and mentor Nitta has taught me. So vertical development refers to advancement in a person's thinking capability, right? And so when vertical development is happening in your life, the circumstances around you may not really have changed. You know, you may look like the same person and have the same home and the same relationships. But if you're advancing vertically in your development, you have this ability to think in more complex, systemic, strategic, and interdependent ways. So you're seeing the same things around you in a completely different way, and you're thinking in a completely different way. And there are lots of frameworks for vertical development, or even you could call it consciousness development, that are out there. I got certified in a coaching program called New Ventures West, and they had something called the 10 ways of being, sort of 10 stages of almost consciousness evolution. I recently took a vertical assessment, vertical development assessment from a website called Adeption that my coach sent me. And they say there are 6 stages of vertical development. And I'll just go ahead and read them to you because I think they're kind of useful to ground this concept. So you have the first stage is the diplomat, focuses on conforming with the rules and norms of an organization or a society. This is specific to leadership development, but I think it can be used to life development. So you have the diplomat, focuses on conforming with the rules and norms. The expert, motivated to gain mastery and expertise, values logic and respects other experts. Achiever, driven by goals, achievement, and meeting the standards they have set. The fourth one, redefining, inspired by meaning and purpose, challenges status quo to find new ways. Transforming, generates organizational and personal transformation, sees the system. And finally, alchemical, brings together disparate elements to transform beyond the previously known. So my coach told me that the majority of today's society is living in the achiever stage, driven by goals, achievement, and meeting the standards that they have set. And by her evolution, I am moving from achiever to redefining. And redefining is a vertical development of being inspired more by meaning and purpose and challenging the status quo to find new ways. And so this is the vertical development location that I find myself in, right? Kind of a whole new view of the world that is baked into me and that my brain is able to see, and yet that is difficult to communicate and explain in words to other people. As part of her explanation to me about vertical development, Nitta had me watch this cartoon video, and it started out with like an eyeball in surrounded by red skin, and you drew out and you saw that it was a rooster's face, and then the picture drew back and you saw that the picture was actually 2 children on a farm looking at the rooster, and then you drew back again and you saw that the 2 children looking at the rooster on a farm was actually a painting hanging in someone's home. And then you drew back and you saw that the painting hanging in someone's home was actually an ad on a bus, and so on and so forth, all the way until you drew back and you're looking at the entire Earth from space, right? And so this is how she explained vertical development to me, is that some people are only looking at the rooster's eye, and some people are at the stage where they're seeing the ad on the bus. And all of the information is still contained within those levels the higher you go. But if you're in one of the earlier stages, it's difficult, if not impossible, to see the perspective outside of that. And that, to her, was her, I think, elegant solution to conceptualizing vertical development to me. So hopefully that makes sense to you. I can't remember what the video was called, but it was a good illustration of how this concept works. So that's vertical development. It's a thing. It's an advancement of your brain and your perspective and your evolution and consciousness. And it happens, right? And you can apply yourself actually to make it happen. Most of us aren't taught this. I don't know that many of us are trying to evolve our perspectives beyond college or maybe our mid to late 20s, right? We think we're like going to see the world like we always see the world. And then, of course, interruptions or invitations happen in a life, and we're forced to evolve and grow and see things from a different perspective. But I think you can also decide to apply yourself to try to grow within this vertical development stages, to become a person who sees things more broadly and deeply and subtly. And the other metaphor that I often use for my clients is that when they're coming to me, they're seeing the world through a straw. Right? Like kind of when you were a kid, you looked through a straw and pretended it was like a little telescope or whatever. And that's all you could see, was like the pinprick of the vision that you could see through the straw. And I'm hoping that like by the time they finish working with me, they can at least seeing the world through the view of like a paper towel roll, right? Like we have widened the aperture of possibility. That would be, you know, that would be an advancement in vertical development. And some people, you know, start to see it through larger structures. I don't know like what's a circular thing larger than a paper towel roll, but you would see it larger then, and then even larger, right? And then you like go up all the way to somebody like the Dalai Lama, who probably, you know, sees everything, right? And very, very, very few of us will ever get to that stage. But you can still continue to apply yourself to advance yourself if you understand that this is a structure within you that you can work within, right? Okay, so gotta set the stage there with vertical development. Now, what I want to talk about is the forest, the meadow, and the river of misery. So this is just like a lot of metaphors in this podcast, right? So another way of thinking about perspective and the people who are either only seeing like the rooster's face or the world through a straw is that you're living your life in a forest the whole time, right? And I think even some people are living their lives within a cave that's within a forest, but the majority of people that I see, and I would consider myself having been in this stage, are living in a forest. And it's like, you know, it's not so bad in the forest necessarily, but it's dark. You don't really get much sun, and it kind of feels unknown and scary and hard to navigate, right? And some people will spend their whole lives in a forest, right? And then I have people who start to realize they're living in a forest and they suspect that there is something beyond the forest that they could step into, but they aren't quite sure how to get there. So maybe they start reading a lot of books or listening to a lot of podcasts or, you know, doing exercises or working with a therapist or something. And these are the ways that they're trying to kind of get through the forest. And it's not an easy path to get through out of the forest, right? There's a lot, you know, kind of like boogeyman status of forest. You think that there are like ghosts and wild animals and things that are kind of chasing you out of the forest. So getting out of the forest in and of itself is difficult. And it's really brave. This is why I think this kind of personal work is one of the bravest things you can do with a life, because it is scary, right? There are all these perceived threats to our ego and to our identity in order to kind of advance in this kind of thinking and ways of being. And so maybe you find like a really good mentor or a coach, right? And they really can, they're getting you out of the forest. You know, what I like to say to my clients is like, we're going to get you out of the forest, but you're going to have to like put your eyes on the path. And like, you're also going to tell me that there are like a million ghosts and a million bears and they're coming to get you. And I'm going to tell you those ghosts and bears are not real. You're going to have to take a leap of faith and believe me that they're not real. And we're going to get you out of the forest, right? So maybe this is the part where you find like a great, you know, coach or therapist or mentor or whatever, and they're leading you out of the forest. And that's great. And so when you get out of the forest, you are at the bank of what looks like kind of a massive river, okay? And beyond the river is this beautiful looking meadow, right? This really beautiful looking meadow. And you like want nothing more to be there over in the meadow, right? It just, it looks sunny. It's open. You can see some people like waving at you from the meadow and they look really cool. And you're like, God, I want to be in that meadow. But the forest seems safe again all of a sudden. And the river seems too big to get all the way over there. And you're like, there's no way I can cross that river. There's no way I can cross that river. It's impossible. And like your therapist or your coach or your guide or your friend or whoever is telling you like you can cross the river, right? It's not going to be easy. I'm not like promising it's going to be like rainbows and unicorns crossing this river, but you can cross the river. And there's going to be a lot of self-belief that you can't cross the river, right? This is the point at which I feel like I'm working with many people. Like they've gotten a little bit out of the forest mostly, and they're crossing the river. And so this is kind of what I see for people is like, they're going to do anything to not, they're going to think of 1 million ways to try to get to that meadow and cross the river without getting wet. So they think the first solution is to like spend a lot of time researching how to build like the most efficient, perfect, sturdy raft that's going to help them cross the river. So you're like in this position where you are like reading manuals, you're asking other people's opinions, you're like, oh my gosh, like I need to build this raft, I need to cross this river, but like I don't actually want to get in and get wet. So let's just spend so much time researching and like trying to build all of these rafts, like so that we actually don't have to get in the river and get wet. And people can spend, I mean, this is a very, where I see a lot of my clients is in the stage of trying to figure out how to build the raft, right? They don't want to get wet. And they're spending a lot of time in research mode and like perfectionism mode. And they're like, surely, you know, surely I don't actually have to get in the river. We're going to build this raft. And so you have those kind of people. And then you have people who are looking around for another person to carry them through the river. So this metaphor goes all over the place, right? But like, this is kind of where I see people who are working on their self-worth, and they think the solution is to find a partner who will carry them over the river to the meadow, right? And so they're like, surely the answer is to find a person who can carry me on their backs over the river. And that will be what I need. Then I won't really have to get wet. And like, I'll have this other person who's like helping me in the journey. And this is totally good. So that's another thing I see. You have people who are trying to figure out how to build the perfect raft. And then you have people who think that finding another person to get them across the river is the way. And sometimes these people stay on the shores of the river for years, right? They've convinced themselves that they don't need to get in the river. There is certainly another way to do it that involves them not getting wet. And then there are the people who go in the river. And this happens many different ways, I think. Sometimes you have somebody who's been on the bank for months or years, and they wake up and when something in them has kind of snapped and they're like, fuck it, we're getting in the river. And they just like dive in heads first. And you're like, whoa, okay, bye, good luck. Awesome. You have people who are thrown in the river by an external circumstance like divorce or a layoff or something that they've been like completely resisting, right? They've been holding on to this other version of themselves. And all of a sudden the universe, you know, takes the rug out from underneath them, and it's like, get in the river, bye-bye. And they're like so resistant to it, but they're in the river. And then you have people who consciously decide to get in the river, right? And this is hard. It's, imagine like you're getting in just freezing cold water. It's totally stormy and white watery, and you're like, there's no way I can cross this. Oh my God. But you know, like you're ready, and you're going to take your slow breaths, and you're going to let your body adjust, and you're going to like swim the best you can, and you're going to cross the river, right? Okay. So you have some people who have finally gotten in the river. Some people are immediately going to turn back. Okay. And some people are going to get like a third or a half of the way across the river, and they're just going to be like, this is way too hard. And they're going to go back, right? Because it is hard in the river. This is not an easy journey that you're making, right? You're getting in and swimming, and it's cold, and it's awful, and it's rocky, and you know, maybe it's taking you longer. Maybe you see other people swim past you and you're like, how the fuck are they going so fast? This is insane. This is impossible. And maybe you have to stop and rest at like by grabbing a, like a piece of driftwood in the river or whatever. Right. But you're in it. Right. And you know, I just want to say sometimes people turn back on the bank and they go all the way back in the forest. And sometimes people turn back and sit on the bank again and try to build that raft again. And sometimes people go back and then they're like, wait, I'm going back. And then they turn again and start to swim again, right? And then, so you have all these different iterations, right? Like all these different ways of getting into the river, of then being in the river, and of trying your darndest to cross your way into the river and get to the meadow. So let's say you've applied yourself and it's been hard, but you decided you were never going to give up. You were going to keep trying for this thing. And one day it happens. You make it to the meadow. So it's lovely. You're resting on the banks. It's beautiful. It's sunny. You're so happy. And then I often see a couple of things happen. You start to doubt that the meadow is the right place for you. You're not used to something being so sunny and comfortable and lovely and full of other people who love you and respect you and, you know, are giving you success and everything. And so you're like, this must be a trick. I think I should get back in the river and go back to the forest, right? You know, this is a concept that I've heard one of my podcast mentors, one of my life coach mentors, who doesn't know she's a mentor, Stacey Bayman, talk about as success intolerance. You get to a place you've wanted to go for a long time. And once you get there, your brain like flips out and is like, you have got to get back to this other place. This is a fluke. This is a mistake. We made a mistake. Hurry up. Get back to what you know, right? And then you have people who root themselves into the meadow, okay? And they decide, this is where they're meant to be, and this is worth it, right? And it feels a little strange, like maybe it's going to take a while to adjust or whatever. But you like it, right? You like it. And you start to build a life in this meadow. And it's lovely. Okay? So this is the forest, the meadow, and the river of misery. Okay? And there are many iterations of this in a life. So it's not a one and done. You know, say you get to your first meadow. One day somehow you find yourself in a forest again. And the process starts over, right? And with any luck, you know what's happening at this point, and you're willing to go through the journey again. And sometimes you stay in the meadow for years or a decade or longer, right? And it's lovely and you're really happy there. And sometimes it's a little bit less and the process takes you back into the forest and you're starting the whole thing over again. So, but it's wonderful in the meadow. And you kind of want to, once you get there, you want to celebrate yourself for getting there and staying there as long as you can, right? So what is it like in the meadow? Well, let me tell you about my personal experience of the forest, crossing the river of misery, and currently, I think I recently arrived in this current meadow, right? Like I said, there's going to be many, many more forests and rivers and meadows in my life, right? So I'm not like arrived at some like spiritual enlightenment meadow, but I'm a different person who's thinking differently about things. And it's great. So there's a lot in the meadow that's kind of wild, right? Like, I love myself, which is wild to me, you know, as a person who has dealt with shame and self-loathing for most of her life, you know, even though I was doing it unconsciously for much of my life, to know that I always have my own back, and yet I still want to improve and hold myself accountable and explore my blind spots, but I can do that with compassion and love for myself. That is sort of like a mind-blowing mental shift, right? It gives you just so much like inner strength when you know that you love yourself and you have your own back, and it gives you so much more resilience about making mistakes or trying new things or moving forward. Also in the meadow, like I can kind of like direct my thoughts, which is an absolutely wild experience as somebody whose thoughts basically ran rampant over me for most of my life, and my thoughts were in control of my life rather than me being in control of my life to create my life. So that's crazy, right? Like I can kind of step back and witness my thoughts happening and decide which ones I want to choose to get the results that I want in my life and move forward from there. I still get stuck in unconscious thought spinouts, but I'm so much faster at recognizing them and redirecting them and moving forward. And sorry, let me look at my notes. There's just kind of an awareness of, right, being like, oh, there's so much less emotional distress, right? So it doesn't mean I'm in this like fairy dairy like life where I'm like rainbows and unicorns and ice cream every day and I never feel pain. It's just like there's an ability to be more present for the fullness of my life, the joy and the pain, and not try to run from it or hide from it or distract myself from it, and just more fully accept it, like all of it, right? I have post this on Instagram lately, but you know, when people are like telling you they can help you achieve your dream life, like a life coach like me or anybody else, I do want you to run from the ones that tell you that like you can have an easy life where you're never sad or feeling difficult emotions or experiencing pain or loss again, because that's not true. But you can have a life where you're present for all of that and you're grateful for all of that, even the pain and the loss and the difficult emotions. And you can develop an ability to be with them as they unfold and not necessarily like react to them, but more respond to them and choose how you want to move forward as you're experiencing them. So it's pretty good in the meadow. You know, how did I get to the meadow? Well, I think, so maybe you're like kind of getting my metaphor about how I'm talking about being at the banks of the river and trying to build the perfect raft to cross so you don't get wet. So how, if you're like, I want to be one of these people who consciously crosses the river, you know, I don't want to necessarily get thrown into it or like have to wait 2 years before I totally snap and get into it. It's For me, I believe the answer of getting in the river is doing the things that you are currently most terrified of, but that you know will advance you towards your dreams. So for me, getting in the river of misery, right? It sounds weird to like want to get in the river of misery, which is why it's so hard for many people, but that is the process of change. The process of change is a difficult one, and it's a hard one, and it can feel really miserable sometimes. But for me, how I threw myself in the river was quitting my job and telling my boyfriend AJ my feelings for him. Those were the two scariest things I've pretty much ever done in my life. And I did them consciously, and I was terrified afterwards. You know, those were the things that threw me in the river of misery. And then I was in the river of misery for like a year. Like, in the first few months of my relationship with AJ, we're in such a good place now, but I was really scared. Like, my anxiety, all of my wounds were coming up. A lot of it felt really uncomfortable, and I felt so codependent, and I realized how much work I still had to do in the realm of relationship and in releasing my identity from my relationships, right? And then entrepreneurship, I mean, Jesus, like so much doubt, so much shame, so much negative thinking, so much hustling, right? Like, so these two things, though they were the things that advanced me towards my goal of being in a happy relationship and working for myself and having my own business in a way I wanted to create it, it wasn't like one and done, like I quit my job and told AJ how I felt, and then it was, you know, dream life afterwards. No, those were the things that threw me into the river of misery, where I was massively uncomfortable and really questioning my decisions for a long time, right? I really wanted to go back to the forest. I was like, I don't know about this river thing. This seems hard. Like, I'm tired. Like, I'm not a good swimmer. But something in me said, kept going, right? Keep building your business. Keep working on your shame and your shadow in romantic relationship. Keep working on your thoughts and your beliefs and your self-concept of you as a person, right? Like, I think if you get into something in me, my higher self, I feel like is, our higher selves are guiding us, right? And she was in that river with me, and she was like, just keep going, because in that meadow, I swear to God, like, there is a version of yourself where you can root and you can love yourself and you can have things you want, and you can really be with yourself and be present to your life. But you do have to keep going as long as it takes. You have to keep going. Oh my God. Holy shit. There is a huge snake that just came up to me as I said that. Okay, it's a harmless snake, I think. But this surely is a sign. Holy shit, y'all. Sorry, I probably burst out some of your eardrums with that. And it's just sitting here looking at me. I leapt up from the bench I was sitting on. Oh my God, Jesus Christ. It's like 5 feet long. Okay, you can just keep going, Snakey. I gotta talk about self-help over here. I'm, you know, in my head, I'm like, should I edit this out? I don't think I'm going to edit this out, because that surely is a sign to extra listen to what I'm saying. Okay, I'm going to go. It's going to be over there. I just left my phone and my journal over there, so it's going to have ownership of that for a while. But we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll just keep recording from over here. Whew, my adrenaline, it's up. Wow, that was a little bonus. Okay. Anyways, I'm here in the meadow. There are snakes in the meadow, right? There is complex emotions, and there's difficulties, and there's joy, and there is an ability to fully step into who you are and take ownership of your thoughts and have successes that you didn't think were possible beforehand. And when you're in the process of crossing the river, whew, it's going, guys, the snake is fucking huge. Oh God. Okay. So when you're in, okay. Oh my gosh. When you're on the banks or you're in the river, what is really helpful is, like, if you understand conceptually what is happening for you, because being in the river of misery does not mean that anything has gone wrong, right? And that's where we turn in and we're like, the water's cold, getting back up, getting back out, like, better build that boat, or I better wait till the water's warm, or I better wait till it's a nicer day. Like, we get into the river of misery, which is really just like our like horrible thoughts about ourselves and the situation around us that are self-defeating. And we assume that that means that we're, something has gone wrong and we're in a bad place and we need to turn back. I want to invite you to embrace the river of misery as a natural part of the process, not just a natural one, but a necessary one. Okay. Being in the river of misery is a true stage of self-growth and personal transformation and going after dreams that are really true and vulnerable to your heart. So the more we can normalize something like the river of misery, the more we can continue on the path towards getting the things that we want in our life, right? So I really need you to take this away, if anything, if this is the only thing you take away from this podcast, other than my snake scream, is it does not mean that anything has gone wrong if you're experiencing self-doubt, if you're experiencing imposter syndrome, if you're experiencing negative or self-critical thinking. That does not mean anything has gone on. That is a normal part of the process. What you do want is you want, if you're in this process, some people are real tough and they can do it on their own, right? Like, and that's really great. And I think if we had a different society and different ways of teaching people, then more people would be able to do this on their own. And it would be a slightly easier process. And we might just all be in the meadow together rather than starting out in the cave or in the forest. But what is really helpful is having somebody who can hold the vision for you, right? Somebody who's just a few steps ahead on the path or is in the meadow and is looking back and is like, I can help people cross this river. I can help get people out of the forest. Because when I crossed the river of misery and I got to this meadow, I look back and I swear to God, the river of misery was actually like a 2-inch deep creek. And I was like, huh, I can, and that's where the vertical development part came in. And I was like, okay, I need to go back and get as many people out of the forest that I can. And help them cross the river, even though they have to cross the river on their own. Because, like, I can see now what this is, and I need to help convince people that they can do it too. And that's why having a coach or a therapist or a mentor or an accountability partner or whatever, somebody who's just a few steps on the ahead of you on the path, somebody who's on the other bank, having somebody like that to hold the vision for you as you cross the river of misery is so critical, because it is so easy to get into the river of misery and be like, well, this is literally miserable. I'm turning back. But when you have somebody who's already crossed the river of misery, they're like, yep, supposed to be miserable. Keep going. Here's some tools. Like, here's some ways of thinking to help you cross the river of misery, but like nothing has gone wrong. Like, you're on your way, right? And I can see that this is actually just like a very shallow creek. You can't see that. It feels like the Mississippi to you right now, but I can see that it is, and I can see that you're making progress. So that is sort of my general philosophy of how change happens, right? You start in the forest, you decide to move out of the forest, you're on the banks, something, either you consciously step into the river of misery or something throws you in there, and you make the decision to cross the river of misery no matter how long it takes. And some people, like I said, go back to the bank, some people go back to the forest, and some people will make it to the meadow. Like I said, some people make it to the meadow and they're like, time to go back to the forest. Like, I don't deserve this, right? Or this must be a fluke, or this is not sustainable. And then some people root and flourish in the meadow. Okay. And I want to say that it's also not like bad to live your life in the forest. It certainly happens for many, many, many people. You know, there's a lot in the forest, right? There is security and there's food and plants and there's the cover of the trees. And, you know, you can build a nice life in the forest. And so that's not really a problem. But if you're listening to this podcast and you've been following me for a while, I think you don't want to live in the forest anymore, right? Because you don't get sun in the forest. And you all want sun. And I want to help you get there. So if you've made it all the way to the end of my snake screaming, my philosophizing, and my discussion about the forest, the river of misery, and the meadow, and my panicked breathing that is still happening because of the snake, I want to tell you about my mastermind that will be opening for enrollment this summer, and it's going to be called Soothe. I guess that is a play on soother, and I like it, right? So this is going to be a year-long mastermind for sensitive women. Mastermind simply means like a small group, right, of people that you meet with regularly to encourage each other, to be accountable to each other, to grow, to learn, to create sisterhood, to create partnership, to help each other create dreams that are important to each of you, okay? So Soothe is going to be incredible. It's going to be a year-long curriculum, and month by month, we're going to be going through different topics like the inner critic, perfectionism, codependency. We're going to be learning somatic, spiritual, and emotional processing tools. We are going to be meeting 2 to 3 times a month in group. And then you are also, if you're in Soothe, you're going to get a monthly one-on-one mentorship call with me each month, right? So you're getting the group experience and you're also getting one-on-one time with me. And you can spend those sessions doing a variety of things for whatever is coming up in your life. I'm going to be offering tarot. I'm going to be offering energy work if you like it, some other breath work, a couple of other somatic tools, or just talking. Maybe you just need mentorship that month, right? You get to decide. So what I've done is I have put the wait list for Soothe in the show notes. And if you would like to join, sign up for that wait list now, because you are going to be the first people to know when Soothe is open for enrollment. And I'm going to have a maximum of 24 spots. So you're going to have like a cohort of 24 women. And then I'm going to break those into small groups. So you're going to be meeting with six women, five or six women, however many people sign up individually. And those are going to be your people for the year. Okay, so you're going to grow on this journey together for the year. And the reason I wanted to create a mastermind like this for sensitive women is sensitive women often have what I refer to as burden mentality. We're kind of like, well, I just got to go it alone. Like, guess I'm going to be the only person who works with this. Like, and there's some like weird sense of virtue in doing things alone for us. And I want to like really discourage that. And I want us to kind of cross the river of misery together to the meadow and community. I want us to achieve our dreams. I want us to grow emotionally and spiritually together. I want us to learn tools society doesn't teach us to live a fulfilling life. Like, there's some of these things I've learned in the past few years, and I'm like, why is this shit not taught in school? This is insane. So these are the things that I want to teach you, and I want to, you know, kind of be helping you all cross the river of misery. And then you do it in sisterhood together too with the other people who are going to be in the group with you. So that's Soothe. The the link to the waitlist is in the show notes. And that's going to wrap it up for today, because I need to go like take a fucking Xanax or something. That snake really, really threw me off my game. So thank you for sticking with me. I would love, love, love to have you in Soothe. And it's going to be, I'm really going to be reducing my one-on-one coaching. So this is going to be the primary way to work with me. And if this is sounds like something you'd like, and if the forest, the meadow, and the river of misery spoke to you, take this as the sign. Take the snake as a sign. Take this podcast as a sign. It's your time. I'll talk to you soon. That's it for this week's Sunday Soother. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have a moment, go on over to iTunes and leave me a 5-star review. That's how other people find this podcast and the message of hope and compassionate personal growth I'm hoping to spread to many more people just like you. You can find me on Instagram at Katherine Andrews and find out more about The Sunday Soother at thesundaysoother.com. You can also check out my services, courses, and coaching at katherinedandrews.com. Have a great day ahead.